Good morning and welcome to Between the Beats, our little segment we do each week where we talk to random guests about random things rescheduled from yesterday to today. Since I was out yesterday, today we're talking with Susan Segerman. She's the co-founder of Games for Change and a public speaker and advisor on new media and social impact. Games for Change is a nonprofit that promotes and supports the emerging use of video games for humanitarian and educational purposes. And as I mentioned before, she's actually done quite a few things. Today, though, we're talking about her article and her thing in the spotlight lately, Victim of Monster Tenant and 10 Tips to Know Before You Rent Out Your House. Good morning, Suzanne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Good. Thank you for coming. Can you tell us a little bit about the background for this whole saga?
Yeah. We rent an apartment out. We raised our family in an apartment in New York. And then when my husband went overseas, we started renting it out. And it's a loft, an artist loft. So we try to get artists and creative types in there. And we had what we thought was the very perfect tenant. He was an architect. He was Harvard educated. He had all these awards. He had very, you know, wonderful LinkedIn and everything online. And he moved in, and about 2 weeks into his 2-year lease, we got a message from our building manager that he had demolitioned the loft.
Mm.
There were bags and piles of debris out in the alley where the garbage company picks it up. And they had already come once. So we raced into the city, and I couldn't believe my eyes. We brought an architect with us. She's a very thin and delicate woman, very smart. And she was a real Harvard architect. And we all went in and just couldn't believe that he had torn down bedrooms and bookshelves and closets. And it was just a total demolition site. And, by the end of the night, and we had called, 911, and it was just a mayhem in there. And he ended up punching my architect in the face.
Oh my gosh.
And breaking both her hands. So it was just an extraordinarily horrific experience. And then I went on, of course, after that night, we were so shocked and we didn't know what to do. And I started really kind of digging in to figure out who this guy really was, because he didn't seem like a regular architect. And it turns out he has victims around the world.
Wow.
And, he's just a serial con man. And we were like, I don't know, number 20 on the list or something. It was kind of crazy.
Wow. It sounds kind of like the Anna Delvey, how she did her thing, only maybe with a little bit more destruction in its wake.
Yeah, absolutely. And, a lot of people have compared them. There were some similarities. He too moved into fancy hotels and didn't pay.
Mm.
Got, hauled out by the cops. And that was just another one of his victims.
Yeah. Well, were there any red flags that you look back now in hindsight and think you wish you had noticed earlier? Or was it just like 100% wool over the eyes?
Well, I have to say there have been some amazingly, scrupulous former landlords that he conned. So I don't feel so, like, including a military intelligence officer,
yeah,
and a trained sniper. So I don't feel so bad because he was really a good con man. But now, looking back, I do see red flags that I, wouldn't ever let happen now. One is the broker. I always thought the broker was the person who vetted the tenant and then presented them
uh-huh.
to you. And that's just not the case. The broker is like basically the middleman or the middlewoman. And they collect the documents from the tenant and they pass them on to you. And so you have to be the person to absolutely call every single one of the things on there and verify it, Is he really an architect? Did he really go to this college? Is he working at this place? Is she, whatever it is, you have to just verify it all and call the references. I called the references, but they too had been scammed. I only told them later, the truth about the guy, and they were shocked, as shocked as I was. So there are a lot of things that, he paid the deposit a couple days late. That's kind of a red flag. He was really late, a week late, paying the broker her commission.
Hmm.
So there were things that, you know, you small, but in the context of a tenant, it can signify something going on their end. Like maybe he was scrambling to get the money. You know, maybe he didn't have the money. He had to figure out, you know, a con in order to get the money. I don't know where that money came from, but so there, you know, there were red flags. He also, you know, hilarious or terrifying, whichever you want to choose. He mentioned the movie Pacific Heights in an email before he moved in. And I didn't know what that movie was. It's a movie from the 80s where a con man moves in and tears the place down. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
I didn't look it up, you know. I didn't know what it was. It didn't mean anything to me. I just thought it was a joke. And I was like, you know, I thought, you know, I laughed and laughed it off. So, you know, people sometimes really do tell you who they are, and you really need to listen to them.
Oh, yeah,
so
good
I could listen better.
Was there any legal actions available to you, and did they do any good?
Well, you know, I have to say it was a little tricky with the cops because he already had an arrest warrant out for him the night the cops showed up. The night that we went in there and discovered all the destruction. And the cops didn't pick him up then and haul him away, which was kind of surprising to me. So, you know, the cops just said, oh, this is for housing court, you know. So in some ways, they too, I think, might have been conned by him a little bit. They thought, oh, you know, he seemed very, you know, articulate and educated, and, you know, he presents himself very well. So I think when they went in to talk to him inside the loft while we waited outside, they must have, you know, given him, I mean, he must have given them some story about how he had permission to, I don't know what he said, but in any case, the cops were not helpful that night. And we kept trying to tell them there are a lot of victims out there. You need to do something about this guy. And, you know, they really didn't act on it in any quick way. But, you know, aside from the cops, you know, we did that. You know, the judge was very, when we did go to the Supreme Court, the judge was very fair, and he did immediately put a restraining order on this guy. We think of restraining orders as being a bit against people, but this restraining order was to stop him from touching the loft, doing any more destruction. And he, you know, he disregarded that. So that was a contempt of court. There was a motion for a contempt of court hearing. You know, he just didn't care. He just continued even after the judge's try, you know, the judge tried. So it was only when we, you know, had a camera on him in the hallway, then we started monitoring his behavior and, you know, alerted the cops when he was home. And the cops called him, you know, and said, we're coming over. And then that's when he left, when he knew that the cops, I told the cops, break the door down. I don't care. Get him out. And you know, they started closing in on him after, I don't know, I guess it was a couple months. So 6 weeks.
Well, before we get into some of the tips for hopefully avoiding that, has he been caught?
No, he's on the loose.
Oh, gosh.
And
okay.
Probably overseas, I'm guessing, because he did, you know, I did give information to the Southern District of New York, who started an investigation on him. So they took it seriously. And I don't know what happens if he tries to come back into the United States. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I hope they can, you know, I hope they pick him up. I just don't know.
Now, you have 10 landlord tips, and we don't have to do all of them, but we'll give the listeners the info to find them at the end. But here, in my experience, there's two ways to do a background check. One is they give you their info and you run their check, and it's not super invasive because they don't have to sign off on anything. And then there's the other one that costs more, and this is includes, you know, a criminal credit, blah, 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 and everything. And I'm assuming that you would recommend doing the one where the potential tenant signs off on you checking those things?
Yeah. In fact, you know, he did provide a credit report. He did provide a 1040 and a bank statement and all sorts of things. that looked very legitimate. And I just didn't realize all those things can be fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I Googled it, and there's like a template for a TransUnion credit report. You just input your own made up information and print it out, and it looks exactly like a real TransUnion credit report. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he wouldn't have gotten into the apartment if I had done that one simple thing, which is send my own credit report request to him, because he would, you know, he must have a terrible credit report. I think he owes American Express something like $122,000. So, you know, he wouldn't have gotten past that step. So that's really an important thing, is to do a credit report and a background check where they have to give you permission. Don't accept the one from the broker, do your own.
Okay. Now, if there's a time constraint, what do you think, like out of the 10, meet in person, check all references, et cetera, what do you think the top three are, or do you need to take the time and do all of them?
Well, I recommend everybody do all of them, but I would say the most important one is get landlord's insurance. So most people have their tenant get renter's insurance. That's kind of standard. And the renter can, you know, give you proof of their renter's insurance. That also can be forged. Of course, now I know, and especially with AI too, like everything can be made up. Even voices can be, you know, faked.
Right.
So, you know, make sure you get the renter's insurance on their side, and you can get a backup. I had backup insurance, landlord's insurance, that I had put in place just 2 years before on a whim. I don't even know why I did it, but it really saved us. So insurance, I would say, is number one. You know, the background check and doing all basically take the whole process into your own court and do everything yourself. Call the employment, call the educational institutions. You know, you can call everywhere they say that they have done and been. You can call up and verify whether that's true or not. I also think, you know, a couple later down the list are really important too, is that if you've got a property manager that you can get, or a maid, have them, you know, put in the lease that those people are going to come in once quarterly or once a month, just to check that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And add the maid fee into the lease, $100 a week or whatever it is, you know, to just come in and see if everything's working, clean the sink, clean whatever it is. You just, as long as you get somebody in there on a regular basis with their eyes on it, I think is also a good thing to do.
Well, that's a good idea. And then you can see all the things that they're doing, if they're doing anything.
Right.
So have you rented out your loft since the repairs? Are you still going that route?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we couldn't afford, the insurance didn't cover putting back four bedrooms. He tore down three out of the four, but we could afford to put back one of them. So we have, it turned into a two bedroom instead of a four bedroom loft, which in the end turned out okay, because we ended up having to furnish it in order to raise the rent so we could pay back the legal fees. And that has, you know, really served us well. It meant the leases are shorter. But people who are moving to New York and they are looking for an apartment to buy, or they've got a 1 year, you know, hospital appointment or something, you know, it's worked out really well. We really like that technique. So the other thing is, you know, it's not even on the list, but see if furnishing your apartment for a longer term lease is something, you know, your town or city, that makes sense. If there's a big hospital there, or if it's a city, then it's much easier to do.
Oh, that's a great idea. And I saw pictures of your loft when I was looking up things for this interview, and it is beautiful. I lived in New York for a little while, and I love those old buildings with the high ceilings and the thick walls. And so I'm glad that
you
still have it. So, and that's
We have a wonderful tenant in there now.
Oh, fantastic. Good. So what's next for you? Do you see yourself continuing to educate landlords or going in a different direction? And is there a book or a TV show in the works?
Well, I would say all of the above.
Oh, good.
So, yes, I'm working on a book, and I have been talking to some agents and publishers. And I had, I don't know, 5 or 6 TV companies, production companies reach out, you know, wanting to talk about a possible partnership. So those conversations are going forward. I have been inundated with messages from other victims. I mean, they're out there. They're all over the place, literally all over the world. There's like a new city that he did this to every week coming in. So I have gotten, you know, some victim stories, more victim stories keep coming in. So I'm also, you know, writing those up and keeping track of all of that.
Oh, good.
As I move forward, you know, in the research. So I think I'll be on this subject for a while. And I am very happy to be helping other landlords because, you know, I wish somebody had helped me beforehand.
Yeah.
I thought I knew what I was doing, and I really I'm much better informed now, unfortunately, the hard way.
Yeah. Well, tell people where they can learn more about your story and follow your work.
Thank you. It's My Monster Tenant is in New York Magazine, and you can find me on social media and on my website, SuzanneSegerman.com, and on Instagram and Facebook. And there's also, you know, a couple of stories out there. That the Daily Mail did a story, and a bunch of other places you can find them online.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got linked to those maybe on your website, and that's where I saw some of the...
Yeah, my website under press. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So y'all out there, go to her website, and you can go down this disturbing rabbit hole. So...
yeah. Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.